You are listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. This is our midweek A Quiet Life podcast that focuses on living a quiet life, mind your own affairs, work with your hands, and be dependent upon nobody. For more information, visit us at thepursuitofmanliness.com. Well, men, once again, Quiet Life podcast. If you're new to this podcast, it's based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Aspire to live a quiet life, mind your own affairs, work with your hands, be dependent upon nobody. And the goal of this podcast, which you can find most Wednesdays, is to kind of hone in on that, to talk about what it looks like to live a quiet life. We're not talking about being a recluse. We're not talking about, you know, kind of closing off ourselves from the rest of the world. We want to be fully functioning men of God. What we're talking about is how to be men of presence and value, not desiring to be the loudest or the most important person in a room or to garner the most attention. Now, most of the guys who listen to this podcast, who engage within the pursuit of manliness, that's not your wiring. We want to be counted as valuable. We want to be seen as men who have things to offer. We want to be men who are reliable. I want you to when you think of me, think, man, that guy believes in what he says. He has follow through. You know, would love for you to think that, you know, steadfast in my faith, whatever. And I want you to do the same. I want you to be that same kind of individual. I think one of the great stirrings in me as a man in recent years, in the last, say, shy of a decade now, has been the foresight to try to look many years down the road. Many years down there, like 20, 30, 40 years down the road. I don't know what kind of time I have on this planet, and you don't either. But what I do want to consider is if I get to 60, 70, 80, 90, what kind of man do I want to be? I don't think you just become it when a new decade is flipped on your calendar of years that you've been on this planet. You turn 50, you don't just suddenly become this. I don't think that happens. And what I also don't want to do is be a person that, you know, tries to act my way into those things either. I want to be those things. And to be those things then, I need to start being those things now. I hope, and I know we have young men that listen to this. I hope that you surpass anything that the Lord does in my life, do it tenfold. Took me a long time to start to figure this out. Took me a lot of trips down a bumpy gravel roads. God just pulled me behind for me to start to figure it out and thankfully get a wake-up call to say, what are you doing? If you stay on this path, if you keep going this direction, how do you believe? First of all, do you believe things will change? Oh, of course. Well, how? Do they magically just change? No, not at all. So I say all that because here it is, the end of November already. It's hard to believe. We're on the cusp of Thanksgiving and then all the madness between Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that stuff. So I say all that to talk about the first of the year. Now, this isn't the last podcast of the year, so you may be confused by that. Let me say this. A number of years ago, probably 5, 6, 7, I don't know, I started to realize that I'm just plumb terrible at New Year's resolutions. Now, I'm not a fan of New Year's. I mean, you have to do it. You have to flip the calendar. I'm not a fan of it. I don't know. I'm just not. And so I don't enjoy New Year's. I do enjoy like New Year's Day to a degree. Even though it's like the next day, it feels like it's a new day. It's a new thing, or at least, you know, for maybe most of us, it sort of feels that way. And so I'm just not good at resolutions. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I think a lot of people at least feel like with a new year, maybe I could have a renewed focus, or I could try something new. I would imagine if you sell journals, New Year's has got to be just your time of the year. I mean, if you sell a journal, imagine the number of journals that are purchased to get started on New Year's Day. Get yourself a journal, get yourself a pen, and we're going to do something. Day one, January 1st. Okay. I got nothing. What am I going to write? This year, I want to, I don't know. Here's the other thing I found. You know, a lot of New Year's things are about like health. I want to get healthy. So physical health, spiritual health, relational health, whatever. I want to get healthy. Well, New Year's Day, I typically ate a bunch of junk food. So that was out. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to watch 14 football games. And I'm going to drink no soda. I'm not going to drink any soda. I'm not going to have any, no greasy food. Well, there's a miserable New Year's Day. And so I said, you know, and then you get into, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. Please do that. I've done that. I think there's great value in that. But if you, depending on the plan you read, you get to Job pretty quickly if you go chronological. You're going to get to Leviticus about the time you're sick of the last snowfall in February, March. And it's pretty easy at that point when all the new year, new you has worn off to say, that didn't take. We'll try it next time. We'll try June 1st. June 1st, that's our date. Start of summer. Here's what I'm going to do. No, that ain't going to work either. Here's what I have learned. Take it or leave it. What I have learned through the years is, one, I'm not starting on January 1st. I'm going to start on December 1st. Okay? December 1st. If you say I'm going to eat better, may not be the time to do it. You still got maybe you got Thanksgiving leftovers. I don't know. Christmas cookies. I don't know. But December 1st. That would give me a running start to January 1st. I had a month to kind of, and I didn't feel the pressure of shoot January 6th, and I've missed three of the first 6 days. Nope. It gave me a running start. Now the calendar's going to flip. The ball's going to drop. All that jazz gonna, it doesn't matter. I'm not about that. Like, I really could care less. As a matter of fact, this year, I want to give you a heads up. New Year's Eve is on Saturday. So you've seen the ball drop before. Get your tail to bed and get up on Sunday morning, get to church. Now, I know a bunch of guys won't do that. You'll take that as a sleep-in day or a pajama day or lazy day or whatever. Man, set the tone for your house of what really matters. And be a guy of conviction. Be a man that can be counted on. Because I guarantee your pastor, if you have church on that day, is saying, ah, man, I don't know who's going to be here. You know what else we got going on? Christmas on the Sunday before that. So you're probably going to miss, you know, because you're traveling. You got to see family. You know, you got to see them. You have to do that. So don't be that. So first of all, I'm not going to start on January 1st. I start on December 1st. And I've quietly done that for I don't know how many years. I don't announce it. I don't walk into the kitchen and say, all right, here's what I'm – no, I don't do that. But I do spend around that Thanksgiving time and leading up to it, I do kind of start to think about like, okay, what are we doing? I don't make a Facebook post, new year, new me. I don't – no. I don't think that's a quiet life. I don't think tooting your own horn is a quiet life. I don't think there's anything wrong with sharing that. We were sharing our post in our closed Facebook group, and I've kind of faded on that. I need to get back to that. My daily Bible reading. I'm in the Bible every single day, and I would take a picture of it and, you know, whatever, and somebody made a comment. Or you could just read it and not have to announce it or something. I get that, but here's why I was making the post. Because as I was making the post, other guys were starting to make the post, and perhaps the post would stir in someone else who isn't. Now, I know you're captive scripture, and you're probably just diving into your exegetical study of whatever you're reading through the book of Romans right now. I'm sure you're just knee-deep in your commentaries, and so you don't have time. I understand that. But what I was trying to do is make it real simple. Bible, picture, put a patch in there, put my prayer card in there, the guy I'm praying for from the retreat, still praying for you. And I just made the post. I just want them to know that. I'm not tooting my own horn. So that's the first thing. I'm going to start early because there are no rules to this. So start early. Here's the second one, and I think this is the most important. I don't want to create a start doing list. This year, I'm going to start getting up early, and I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to start doing this. Yeah, those things are probably really good and really valuable. However, I think before you start adding to your start doing list, which is probably busting at the seams and more than likely filled with a slew of empty promises to yourself, because you go into your kitchen, and I use kitchen because that's kind of the central hub for us. I go in my kitchen, I make an announcement, here's what I'm going to start doing. I guarantee they're thinking, yeah, okay, we'll see about that. Just do it. Just do it. Don't make a big scene about it. Just do it. I'll let them know, hey, read 1 Corinthians today. Maybe I just want to do it. And that's what the nice thing about doing it like kind of a month early is you start to build a little momentum in yourself. You go, I can do this. Calendar flips. Cool. Maybe instead of the start doing, you create a brief stop doing list. Because more than likely, your life is filled with things that don't need to be there. More than likely, you have a guilt complex of the things that you already feel like you should be doing. So let's add those things to the list that I am currently doing. I think what you probably need to do is in the next, what are we looking at, 5 weeks before the year's over, is start the great purge. Go through your closets, go through your glove box, your garage, your office area if you have one, your bookshelves, your whatever, your sock drawer, I don't care what it is, and start the great purge. Just, you see, when I get outside and we go hiking or we go camping or we go talking about kayaking, when we go do things like that, that, you know, again, measuring yourself against the outdoors and such, you take what you need to take. Anything beyond that is kind of a nuisance. Space is a commodity, depending on your setup and what you're willing to carry and what you're willing to tolerate. You take the pretty much the minimum. If you're going hiking for a day trip, you don't need 3 sweatshirts. I don't need 12 coffee cups. As a matter of fact, in my life at home, I don't need 12 coffee cups. I was thinking today, this one right here, and if you're watching, it's just the top of a Stanley thermos. I have 2 Stanley thermoses, one of them that's, I don't know how much they hold. One's bigger, one's smaller. One's got a handle, one doesn't. So this is from the one that doesn't. I know that. They're both, but Stanley, genius. Both lids fit both of them. This is a coffee mug in theory. And unless I'm leaving the house, this is more than sufficient for me to drink out of. So why on earth do I have a cupboard with these different coffee cups that I have a sentimental connection to? Well, somebody gave me that. That's one of my teams. And I drink out of that one on, you know, this day or this is one. And, you know, and you always have to know if people come over, suddenly we're the great entertainers of the world. Well, then get some paper cups or styrofoam cups for the emergencies when people come over. They've already been made, so the environment can handle it, okay? So get some paper cups or whatever and then have them when people do come over. But the rest of the time, this will work. I don't need all these mugs. I mean, you need the one in the gear store. But other than that, you don't need all these mugs. That might be the last mug you truly need. I want you to consider that. Are there things in your life that you need to purge? Now, obviously, I'm talking about physical things. So I don't need that. I'm not ever going to use that. I haven't worn that since high school. Okay, well, that definitely needs to go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17 says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. So let's start with that. Are there things in your time that you need to purge? The great scroll. I talked to a guy the other day about content and adding on social media, and it seems like you're on social media a lot, Jared. Probably more than I need to be. But one of the things that I learned, again, years ago, is dump and dive. Post some content, get out of there. I post the content. It's good for you. It's good for me. We're trying to have community, right? But I don't need to live there. I don't need to, as a guy said years ago, babysit the post, right? If you disagree with me, that's fine. I may respond. And if we're going to go back and forth, I'll probably just write okay. Because I'm just not going to spend my time in that realm like that. And that's okay if we disagree. It is really okay. There's some people that anytime I post something with a little bit of heat, a little bit of different, that isn't, let's just hug everybody and accept everyone as they are, they come out of wherever and they have a problem with it. That's okay. That's okay. Here's the other thing. When you think about social media, and a lot of us are on there, that's how a lot of you guys found the podcast or were connected in that way. I heard a guy a handful of years ago say, you are responsible to curate your feed. And at first I wasn't sure, like I had to filter that, figure out what he's talking about. And here's the deal. When you look at, like, especially Facebook and Instagram and maybe Twitter, I don't know. To me, Twitter's a little different, but Facebook and Instagram, and that person from your church or your neighborhood or your old high school or whatever sends you the friend request, most people, I think, feel a responsibility to accept the friend request. I was just telling this to Anthony, our worship pastor, the other day, and I was frustrated with something. And I said, you know, I really appreciate when these people send friend requests to you and you click confirm and you're going to be their friend. And then you see that they just post junk on their feed all the time. You're like, thank you for opening me up to this, because I needed this in my life. I needed more of your emotional roller coaster in my life. Everyone uses social media different, and that's fine. I think it can be a great tool. I think you need to be cognizant of the fact that they do desire to manipulate you. I think you need to be cognizant of the fact that the ads that you're seeing most of the time are based on what you're doing off of social media. So if you try to blame Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, they keep showing me all this stuff that's getting me in trouble. You're already doing that. Okay, don't blame them. You're already doing. They know the paper trail. But if you go to things that are better, you'll get more better. That's just how that works. More better, whatever. So I think you need to purge. Don't waste your time. And so for me, I know there are relationships that I need to keep Facebook friends with that I can't unfriend, because then it's just, whatever. It's not worth the energy. So I unfollow them. I don't see what they post ever. And every once in a while, there's one or two that I'll go, I wonder what they're up to. And I'll check and I'll think, that's why you had to unfollow it. Because it's just not good. So curate your feed. He goes on to say in Ephesians, because the days are evil. You can be filled with all kinds of junk there. It's not worth it. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you had to break down your day to what is the will of the Lord, what would it be? Is it to take out the garbage because today's garbage day? Is it to do the dishes because, man, those things are piling up? All that stuff. Is it to coach your kids' third travel team, or, you know, to make sure we sell the most candy bars? I get the tension. I'm a parent too. I understand that, you know, is it to get them in all the practices and all the travels and all the, don't be conformed, but be transformed. What is the will of the Lord? Imagine yourself going on a hike, just you and God. Just you and God. Nobody else is coming. What would you take with you? You see, I started this thing recently where I feel like if I don't have my Bible when I go outdoors, it just doesn't feel right. I don't know what it is. There was just a hike, and I just thought, I need to take this with me. I will say that I don't get it out and have a Bible study in the woods or anything. I just feel like I need to have it with me. And so I take water. I rarely go very many places without water. I rarely go very many places without coffee, but water is an essential. What else do you need? For some of you now, I know your list just went long. You need a journal, you need a compass, you need Band-Aids, I mean, you go to REI, they're not short on gear that you could put in your pack, but if it's just you and God going on a hike, going on a walk, going on a camping trip, what do you take? I'm thinking you might take less than you would if it was like you and your family, naturally. It's like when Peter was on that mountain and the transfiguration, he's like, hey, let's build some tents. Poor Peter didn't know what to do. You would say, I would really think through what I'm doing here. I say that to get to this. If you're going to pursue the will of God in your life, and the will of God in your life may not be the want in your life, they might be different. God is moving us towards his will and away from our wants. Nothing wrong with wanting, but his will always be more important. I want to understand what the will of the Lord is. As Paul writes there, be wise how you walk. If you are walking with God on some trail or some hike or whatever, obviously you have the great I am with you, okay? But you would be far more in tune with what you were doing, with what you were saying, with your attitude. When you're on a hike, there's a point where you think, what am I doing? I could be at home right now, or there's a point where you're hungry and you get a little hangry and it's different. I think with that approach, if you would consider the night before each day, what do I need to do to make sure I am as prepared for tomorrow as I could be? I think it's a game changer. Part of our tension when we look at January 1st, when you look at new year, new you, when you look at setting some goals and some measurables and all those, I'm in on all those things. And we can talk about all those things at a different time. And I have talked about them in the past. When you're looking at your New Year's resolutions and the things I'm going to start doing and all that, I think it comes down to this: ending your day well. That's it. I'm going to stop filling my end of my day with all this junk. I'm going to stop getting caught up in things and going to bed with all that. I'm going to stop that. And if I stop that, more than likely, as we talk about starting something, when I get up the next day, there's already been some preparations made. If we would end our days well, I think we start our mornings even better. When I went to bed last night, I knew I was recording a podcast today, so you know, I wanted to make sure I had the connections and stuff. I had batteries charged. I need to do my personal, Bible time before I start, personal worship time. So I had my Bible here. I got my journal here, right here. I got a pen. I had my glasses. I had, when I have things that need to get shipped out, I make sure I put my keys or sunglasses or something on so I don't forget. So when I came downstairs, I'm not fresh in the morning at all. I got everything I need right here. I don't need to go running around chasing around. So I'm gonna start to purge the things that are unnecessary, the things that get in my way, the things that can distract me. If I got to start running around this house and figuring out where my Bible is or where's a journal, where's a good chair, I'm going to get caught up in all kinds of stuff. Oh, it drives me nuts when they leave this out. Or, oh, hey, the World Cup's on right now. I might turn that on. Instead of thinking, oh, I need to start doing these things, maybe consider, what do I need to stop doing? I need to stop ending my nights poorly. I need to stop being so hectic and frustrated and when I get up in the morning. And maybe you need to set a couple more alarms. Maybe you just stink at getting up. I don't know. I'm going to stop filling my day with a death scroll. I'm going to stop being focused on things that really have no eternal value. I'm going to stop seeing things in my feed that frustrate me, that irritate me. Believe me, if there's something big enough going on in the world or something has happened to someone close to you, someone will let you know. Hey, did you see what so-and-so posts? No. Well, they said this. Oh, okay. I'm going to stop getting stirred up by things that are unnecessary. I'm just going to stop. That doesn't mean they're not going to creep in. It doesn't mean there aren't some challenges. But when you look at starting this year well, can I encourage you with these three things? Number one, start now. Start now. Don't make a grand announcement. Just start now. And watch what happens when you get 5 or 6 weeks under your belt by the time you hit January. Someone's like, I'm read the Bible through. And you're like, me too. Where are you at? They're in Genesis 1 and 2. Where are you? Exodus. How'd you do that? Started 6 weeks ago. Number two, purge. Purge the things that go through your ears. Purge the things that come in front of your eyeballs. Purge the clutter in your life. You don't need it. If you're going out, living in your car, that sounds awesome, living in an RV, off the grid, you would need certain things, but you wouldn't need all the things. And when you purge, What you do is you make room for the things that are best. You make room for the things that really matter. Again, if you were going hiking and you took all these things, but you didn't take a way to start fire or make food, then you made a tragic mistake. If you take all this stuff with you, but you can't find shelter, you're in a bad way. Purge all the stuff that you say, I don't need that. It's not necessary. And the third thing is, practice ending the night well. You know you have ended the night well when you are prepared for the next day. I think a wise thing to do, and I'm working on getting better at this, is ending the night with being connected to God. That's something I'm going to try for the next 5 or 6 weeks as I get ready for the first of the year and looking ahead. Is I connect with God in the morning, but I need to reconnect with Him in the evening as well. When that sun has gone down, the day is over, that's a great time to reconnect. Then get your things ready. Get your stuff ready. Get your Bible out. Get your pen out. Maybe turn it to the page it needs to be on. Maybe get your lunch prepared. Whatever that you have to do, get the stuff in the car that needs to be in the car. Whatever you have to do, so when you get up in the morning, you're way ahead of where you used to be. I just think that's going to cause you to have less stress. I think that's going to cause you at night, when you've reconnected with God, and again, you're refocusing on using your time well, it's going to make you think about tomorrow morning. And I just think you're not going to say, well, I got to make that Facebook post. Well, I got to check Twitter. I got to watch my local news station. Maybe you do those things, maybe you don't. But I think when you end it well, it will just refine your focus. If you consider those things, if you'll consider those things, perhaps 20, 30 years down the road, there's a different presence about you. There's just something different about that guy. There's something different about the way he looks at his time. There's something different about the way that he looks at his resources or what's most important to him. Did you know that guy only drinks out of a lid off a thermos? He doesn't need all those. Because he doesn't need to be cluttered with all this other stuff. He doesn't need to be conformed. He's being transformed. And perhaps if you do that, perhaps if you think 20, 30 years down the road, not just January 1st or February 1st, but if you think 20, 30 years down the road, then just imagine what the Lord will do with that. Amen? Think about that. I'll talk to you on a little bit. Thank you for listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. If you would, make sure to visit iTunes and leave a 5-star review to let others know what you think of this show. When you get a chance, make sure to visit thepursuitofmanliness.com to see what is available in the gear store, find more information out about Tribe, and much more. Thanks for listening, and let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.